Good morning. Let's read Psalm 90 together. It's on page 599 if you're reading the church Bible. As a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
Please keep that passage open in front of you. Let's pray together. Father, in many ways, these are deeply sobering verses that remind us that life is not as long as we think it is. That remind us that you are the eternal one. And so as we look at these verses together, we pray that you would teach us what it means to number our days so that we gain a heart of wisdom. Help us to have ears to hear and a heart willing to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine for a moment that your bank account or your bank sets up an account for you in your name and credits it every day with £86,400. That would be life transforming, wouldn't it? Imagine that happened. Can you imagine it? It'd be great, wouldn't it? Every morning into your account goes £86,400. It'd be life transforming, wouldn't it? But there is a catch. There always is with bank, isn't there? You can't carry over any balance from day to day. Okay? At the end of every day, you forfeit whatever's left in the account. It's gone for good. You use it or lose it. Now, what would you do in that scenario? Well, I guess the smart move would be to spend or invest or give away every penny by the end of every day. That would be the smart thing to do, wouldn't it? Anything else would really be a waste because any money left would in the account at the end of the day would be lost, be gone. Well, here's the thing. All of us have a bank account like that, whether we know it or not. It's made up of days, hours, minutes, and seconds. It's a bank of time. Every morning, we are given 86,400 seconds. And every evening, we forfeit whatever we fail to use wisely. It's gone for good. Every day, we're given 86,400 seconds to use or lose. And over the course of a life, that is a lot of time, isn't it? And the challenge of our focus text for 2024 is to value the time we have, the time we've been given, and invest them. Invest that time in what really matters. Do please make sure you take home this postcard, beautifully designed by Beth and Charlie. We're so grateful to them for doing this, for designing this for us. Every part of it is meaningful. You can interpret it in the way you want. The sun, is it going down or is it going up? Is the day ending or is it beginning? That's part of the ambiguity. It's beautiful, isn't it? The birds flying away. It's this beautiful imagery that helps us understand what the text is saying. Remember the digital versions as well for your phone or your tablet or your desktop, just to keep this verse before us during the year. In Psalm 90, Moses says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." As we look ahead to 2024 and then further ahead to whatever time we have left, which none of us know how much it is, this is a prayer that with Moses we need to pray. Lord, teach us to value the most precious commodity you give us, time. Lord, teach us to value the days and hours and minutes and seconds you give us so that we live well and wisely. Lord, teach us to value the gift of life so we don't waste our life. This is a prayer we all need to pray. It's a reminder we have no time to lose. It's a prayer that reminds us of the urgency of responding to the gospel if we're not yet Christians and sharing the gospel if we are. In our busy lives, it's so easy, isn't it, to become preoccupied with living for the here and now, for the things of this world, for what's immediate, for what's urgent, for what's in the inbox. But Psalm 90, verse 12, Moses gives us a reality check. He reminds us our days are numbered. And remembering this fact is a tool that will help us live well and live wisely in this world. You see, verse 12 isn't just a prayer, it's also wonderfully a promise. It's the turning point in the psalm. It's pretty miserable until you get to this point in the psalm, and then it flips. This is the turning point in the psalm. It's the first petition in the prayer, and it's therefore a promise as well as a prayer. Moses' conviction, do you notice, is that if we do number our days, and we learn the lessons that come from that, we will gain something of inestimable value. We will gain a heart of wisdom. While at first sight this can seem like a bit of a depressing prayer, it is actually a wonderful promise. The promise here is that we can have the wisdom we need to live well and make the most of our lives if we learn the lessons that come from numbering our days. It's a sobering prayer. It's also a wonderful promise. So, the big question then is, what is the wisdom that we gain when we number our days? That's what we need to know, isn't it? And Psalm 90 highlights three pieces of wisdom, I think, I'm suggesting. But before we look at them, we need to recognize that these lessons aren't just for us as individuals. Moses, do you notice in verse 1, prays on behalf of the people that he's called to lead, the people of God. He starts the psalm, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place." This is primarily a corporate prayer. And so the lessons here are also important for us as a church family. That's one of the reasons why we've chosen verse 12 as our 2024 focus text. As a church, we have limited resources, we have limited time, and so we need wisdom. We need wisdom to invest in what really matters. We too, as a church, need to number our days so that we become wise. And Psalm 90 helps us see how to do that. It helps us see why the gospel is the most important thing we could invest in, the most valuable thing we could invest our time in, both as individuals and as a church. And in a year where we're going to be investing a significant amount of time and resources as a church in preparing to establish a new church in Kidderminster in partnership with others, and we're asking some of you unashamedly to be thinking about going and making some significant sacrifices to be part of that, this is a helpful reminder of why it's worth it. So let's have a look at Psalm 90 together. It's the first petition in the psalm, as we've said. It's the turning point. It's the key verse in the psalm. It's the verse around which the whole of the psalm is really built. Moses prays, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And I want to suggest Moses highlights three pieces of wisdom that we should gain when we learn to number our days. The first piece of wisdom we gain when we number our days is that life is short. So we need to turn to God for refuge. At the opening verses of his prayer, Moses reminds us that God preceded everything. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Before the first millisecond of time, before the first glimmer of light, before the first breath of life, God was there. We've been seeing that as we've worked through Genesis in the autumn, haven't we? We're going to see that as we go back to Genesis from next week. God was there. He was there right at the beginning. He was there before the beginning. He was there because it was through his word that everything came into existence. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the unchanging God of creation. And that is great news for us. Because as Moses says in verse 1, that means he can be our dwelling place. He can be our place of safety, our place of refuge, if we put our trust in him. Verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. That is great news that God is from everlasting to everlasting. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27, Moses uses the same Hebrew word translated here as dwelling place when he says, the eternal God is your refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms. Moses starts this psalm all about the brevity of life, the certainty of death, by assuring us that if we put our trust in God, we could not be in safer hands. He can be our refuge when the realities of life that are so hard assault us. What a comforting truth at the beginning of a new year. When we don't know what's going to happen in our own lives, in the lives of those we love, we just don't know, do we? But we do know that God can be our refuge. And in the light of what Moses goes on to say from verse 3, this is really helpful to know. Because Moses highlights from verse 3 our fragility and mortality as human beings. Look at verse 3. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that's just gone by, or like a watch in the night, yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They're like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it's dry and withered. In contrast to God, who is from everlasting to everlasting, our lives are so short, aren't they? While 1,000 years are like a single day to God, we're different. Doesn't work like that for us, does it? There are a finite number of days between our birth and our death. To be precise, 36,500 if you live to be 100. That's it. Moses faces us up to a fact here that we like to ignore. That even if we live that long, that's a good life, isn't it, 100? Actually, at the end, death still awaits us. Verse 3, see how he puts it? We return to dust. Verse 5, we'll be swept away by the sleep of death. Verse 6, we're like the new grass which springs up in the morning, by evening it's dry and withered. Elsewhere in the Bible, other pictures are used to convey the same truth, the shocking brevity of life. Water spilt on the ground, it's on the ground, it's soaked in, it's gone. A shadow which disappears as soon as the sun goes in. A mist that's dispersed by a breeze. A race where every stride brings us closer to the finishing line. Images that remind us of the brevity of life. Moses says we need to face up to reality. Life is short. Later in the psalm, in verse 10, he says, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. In the opening words of his prayer, Moses faces us up to the reality that many of us are very good at ignoring. When we number our days, we learn an important piece of wisdom. Life is short. It's a truth we know, isn't it? It's a truth that we're sometimes uncomfortably aware of when a loved one dies or receives a difficult diagnosis. When we see friends or family in that situation. The Puritan Richard Baxter, who, as you saw from that video, lived in Kidderminster, wrote this: "Man always knows his life will shortly cease, yet madly lives as if he knew it not." That's us, isn't it? So often we live as if we've got all the time in the world. But Moses says that is not a wise way to live. He reminds us here that death awaits us all, and recognizing that should cause us to run to God for refuge. He can be our dwelling place when we realize that harsh truth. In the Prado Museum in Madrid is a striking painting by the 14th century artist Hans Boldung. It's entitled The Three Ages of Man. In the foreground is a newborn baby girl, but behind her are three figures which represent her future. On the left is a beautiful young woman with smooth skin and long flowing hair, a picture of classical beauty. Next to her in the middle is a shriveled old woman, her features hard, her hair grey, her hand reaching to pull the young woman towards her. It's the picture of what the young woman is going to become, an old woman embittered by the ravages of life. But behind both is a third figure, a hideous corpse, holding an hourglass, a picture of death. And Baldwin's point is clear. Whatever stage of life we're at, whether we're young, whether we're old, somewhere in between, we're all living, actually, in the shadow of death. It's there. It's coming. None of us know when our time will come. None of us know how many days we have left. Life is short, and death awaits us all. And this is the point that Moses is making in the opening verses of this psalm. When we number our days, we become wiser people because we learn that life is short. We face up to that. And we also learn that we can run to God for refuge, that he can be our dwelling place, that we can trust him, the unchanging one, who created all things and holds our life in his hands, that we can trust him, the eternal one, who can keep us safe in the valley of the shadow of death. The first piece of wisdom we gain when we number our days is that life is short, and so we need to run to God for refuge. But then in verses 7 to 12, we see another piece of wisdom that's gained when we number our days. Secondly, that sin is serious. So we need to seek God's mercy. In verse 7, Moses moves from our mortality to our morality. But unfortunately, this isn't any better news for us. It's just as bad, because not only are our days few, every second of them is seen by God. And the sin that God sees brings a strong response from him. You can't fail to have noticed that when we had it read to us earlier. Look at verse 7. "We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." The message of these verses couldn't really be any clearer, could it? God is angry with us. And in verse 8, we're told why. "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." God is angry with us. And he's angry with us because of our sin. Because we rebelled against him as our creator. As he looks at our hearts and sees the worlds that he's made, which he's been twisted out of shape by sin, he is rightly angry. We understand a little bit of this, don't we? When we see the news and we see unjust things happening, we see how twisted the world is. We have a sense of indignation, a sense of the injustice of that, don't we? Well, imagine how God must feel, who made it all, who is holier than we will ever be. God created a world that was good in every way. He created us to enjoy a relationship with him. But sin ruined everything. Sin cut us off from God. Sin ruined his world. Sin introduced misery and pain and death. And Moses reflects that in these verses, doesn't he? Verse 10, he says, our days on earth are punctuated by trouble and sorrow. Verse 9, he says, they finish with a moan as death claims us. That's the painful reality of life in a fallen world. It has its happy moments, yes. But disappointment, loss, and heartache are never far away. And when God sees what sin has done to his world, he is rightly angry and indignant. But do you notice that God's anger against sin is also a problem for us? Because God's response to sin isn't selective. God is angry at all sin, including our sin. Even, verse 8, the secret sins we manage to hide from everyone else. Which puts us in a perilous position. Because when our short lives are over, we'll have to face him ourselves. And so in verse 12, Moses says we need to learn to number our days. We need to wise up. We need to recognize how short life is and how serious sin is so that we might seek God's mercy and forgiveness while we still can. Can I ask you, have you done that? Have you realized how short life is, how serious sin is, your sin? If you have, can I urge you to seek God's mercy and his forgiveness? And turn to him, make him your refuge. Because the good news that Moses concludes Psalm 90 with, that verse 12 is the hinge that moves us towards, is that God is willing and able and longing to answer that prayer for mercy. He is willing to have compassion. He is willing to forgive those who call out to him. And we know that because he sent Jesus. You see, the third piece of wisdom we gain when we number our days, when we call out to God for mercy, is that grace is available. So we urgently need to share God's love with others. When we realize that life is short, when we realize that sin is serious, it should cause us to seek God's favor, to seek his grace. And that's what Moses does in verse 13, and it's also how he concludes in verse 17. He pleads with God to have compassion and to show favor, to show grace. Verse 13, relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you've afflicted us. For as many years as we have seen trouble, may your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord, our God, rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Do you notice there's a strange mix in those closing verses, isn't there? Particularly around this theme of days, which is a key theme in Psalm 90. Moses recognizes in verse 15 that many of our days are full of affliction and trouble, contain affliction and trouble. But at the same time, verse 14, he prays that all our days will be filled with joy and gladness. Now, how is that possible? How could we experience joy and gladness all our days while many of our days are full of affliction and trouble? How does that work? Well, Moses tells us in verse 14. He says, we can be glad. We can even be joyful, even on the worst of days, if we're looking in the right place. Not at our circumstances, but at the unfailing love of God, who is always faithful, who will never leave us, who will never forsake us. Look again at verse 14. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. The good news that Moses concludes Psalm 90 with is that while our days are numbered and often contain trouble and affliction, God's love for us never fails. His mercies towards us are new every morning. as Solomon writes in Lamentations, they can sustain us through everything and anything. Great is his faithfulness. Every day, every moment, whatever is going on in our lives. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, Solomon writes in Lamentations, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I can't tell you what's going to happen in 2024 in your life, but that will be true. His mercies will be new every morning. His love will not fail you. His faithfulness will be great. Whatever else happens in 2024, that will be true. His love towards us is unfailing, and that should make us sing for joy and be glad even on the worst of days, because we know he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never let us go. The good news Moses concludes this psalm with is that God's grace is available to anyone, whoever turns to him. And look, as those who live this side of the cross, we have a greater reason to be absolutely sure of this than even Moses did. Moses could write this, but we can be even surer than he was of this, because God put his love on display. He demonstrated it to us when he sent Jesus. Romans 5 verse 8, Paul writes, but God demonstrates, puts on display, sticks it on a billboard, his love for us. In this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us so much, he sent Jesus to save us from our sin. On the cross, Jesus bore God's anger and wrath that we deserve in our place. He bore the judgment our sins deserve, so that God's favor and God's grace and God's mercy might rest on us. God demonstrates his unfailing love for us in this. While we were still sinners, shaking our fist at God, wanting nothing to do with him, even then, Christ died for us. Moses says, when we number our days, we become wise. We recognize we need to respond to God's grace. We recognize we need to respond to his unfailing love for us. We recognize we need to put our life and our futures into his hands. And we need to do it urgently. And when we've done that, we need to share his love with others so that they can come to find his grace for themselves. This is what our friends and family and neighbors and work colleagues and school friends and uni mates need more than anything else. It really is. The world will tell us that we need lots of things, but this is what we need more than anything else. And this is why, as believers, we need to pray, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we might stop wasting time and remember afresh, life is short, sin is serious, and everyone needs to hear about Jesus. Everyone needs to hear that God's grace is available. Moses concludes in verse 17, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. You see, while our days on earth may be short, the work we do for God lasts for eternity. And so Moses asks God, establish the work of our hands. You see, numbering our days shouldn't paralyze us with fear. It should mobilize us with faith. It should cause us to invest what time and resources and energy we have in what matters, in work that lasts for eternity. Amy Carmichael, who was a pioneer missionary, went to India in the 18th century, wrote this. We will have eternity to celebrate the victories, but only a few hours before sunset to win them. And that is really the heart of Psalm 90, and it's the heart of our focus text of verse 12. Our time on earth is so short. It's so brief. It's so fleeting. So we need to invest our lives wisely in sharing God's love with others, in sharing the good news of the gospel with as many people as we can in the context in which he's put us. As he concludes, Moses prays, establish the work of our hands. And that should be our prayer as well as we head into 2024. Lord, as we serve you this year, help us to invest our time wisely. Help us to use our lives well in what matters. And as we do that, establish the work of your hands for your glory. Look, that's why we're going to be investing time and resources. It's going to be a bit disruptive this year as we seek to prepare to plant a new church with others in Kidderminster. Because life is short and sin is serious and people need to hear about Jesus and that God's grace is available to all. I wonder, is that a work you should be part of, that you could be part of? What a great opportunity to invest in the gospel, in work that will make a difference in eternity. That's also why so many of you already invest your time serving in ministries here at Wood Green. As we start a new year, it's good to remember again why we do what we do, isn't it? Why bother serving? Often sacrificially, week in, week out, at church, various ministries we run at Wood Green. Why do it? And in your context, at work or at school or at university or wherever, why bother speaking up about Jesus and making yourself a bit of a target? Why do that? Because life is short and sin is serious and everyone needs to hear about Jesus. That God's grace is available to all. Sharing Jesus is work that's worth investing our lives in. It's worth investing our time in because it makes a difference, not just now, but in eternity. Moses says, when we number our days, we realize how urgent it is that we share God's love with others so that people get an opportunity to respond to his grace. A few years ago, an unusual watch was launched. At first sight, the ticker, as it's called, sounds like a fairly basic wristwatch. But it comes with a questionnaire that you have to fill in that gives you a bit of a code that you then input into the watch, which estimates your life expectancy. Armed with that information, the watch then begins a countdown of the number of years, months, days, hours, minutes, and seconds it thinks you have left. Its inventor was a former gravedigger. I guess he would know about the brevity of life. He was struck by it. And so he came up with this invention. I don't know how many it sold. His conviction was that numbering your days is key to living well. And Moses expresses a similar conviction in Psalm 19. In verse 12, he prays, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." When we number our days, we become wise, because we realize life is short, so we need to turn to God for refuge, and sin is serious, so we need to turn to God for mercy, but that his grace is available to all, so we urgently need to share God's love with others and respond to it for ourselves as individuals. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reminder in this psalm that life is short and sin is serious, but that your grace is available to all. In our busy and distracted lives, help us to remember these things. Help us to number our days. Help us to gain a heart of wisdom. Help us not to waste our lives chasing the things of this world that don't last. Help us to honor you in the roles that you've given us at home, at work, at school, at university, wherever we are, but at the same time, to stay engaged with the work of the gospel which lasts for eternity, investing in it, praying for it, participating in it. We pray that for ourselves as individuals this year. Help us to serve you gladly and not reluctantly. Help us to see the ways that we can contribute to the great commission that Jesus gave us to make him known. We're so grateful as well for your unfailing love towards us, seen most clearly and evidently in the cross of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the truth that your compassions towards us are new and fresh and sure every morning. Help us to find joy and gladness and satisfaction in your unfailing love for us, whatever this year brings. And we pray for ourselves as a church this year, as we move forward with plans to partner and plant in Kidderminster. We pray there will be those here who would see the value of being involved in that, even if it calls for sacrifice and disruption. We pray for the meetings that are starting this afternoon, that they would go well, that they would help build a shared vision. And as we continue the various ministries we run here, week in, week out, we pray that we would see people trusting Jesus. Pray for Hope Explored as it starts on Wednesday. That would be a wonderful time. A time when people ask questions and find answers in Jesus. Please establish the work of our hands in 2024, we pray, for your glory and your honor. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.